Good evening, everyone. This is Tala with Drive Through Therapy. Thank you guys so much for joining me tonight. I'm so grateful, as always, for your support. And I'm glad you're here, stopping by, doing the little drive through thing, working on yourself. And that's what this podcast is really for. You know, I had to change a lot of things about me. It wasn't just about therapy. It was a lot about self-reflection and self-honesty and working on it, consistently working on it. So I know the power of change. I understand that we are all capable of tremendous change, but we got to do the work. We got to do the hard stuff. And so I'm giving you quick shortcuts to get there. And the way these episodes are laid out, you can actually listen to those over and over again to help you condition a new thought process and to have you contemplate important themes in your life that can help you in self-reflecting. And so that's what all these episodes are all about. That's why they're just not necessarily in any order. They're things that you just want to work on, and you have a bunch of them there that if you want to work on something in particular and you want to learn how to do it, a different thought process, I walk you through the thought process and the reasoning behind it and how to handle it emotionally. Right? I want to demystify any emotional information we have out there or myths. So this way we can live a better quality of life without us working against ourselves, rejecting ourselves or judging ourselves for not being able to correct something we want to correct within ourselves. This is what this podcast is for, is to help you make those changes without the shame or the guilt. It's just like owning up what we need to own up, reflecting, and now start applying the things that we are learning and that we want to become. The change that we're looking for isn't about changing a thought process necessarily. That might come later. For us, we're going to know rationally what the thought process is to engage in and become. But our feelings and our old habits and our thoughts, they're going to come up anyway. So we can't help that. But what we want to do today in order for us to retrain that is to continue to go align with the new thought process or the new actions that we want to engage in. So if I want to become a healthy, for example, in this case, we're going to talk about dating. If I want to date healthy and be able to pick healthy partners, then I have to be aware of what behaviors I need to change, what thought process I need to change, and what actually does come up for me. So I'm not like pretending that all of a sudden I forget my past. We don't forget what we have learned through memory. That's going to show up, but we now make it very clear what we want to align with. This is the beautiful thing about humanity, is that we have free will. We can align with whatever action and thought process we want to align with. I don't have to feel like it. We know it's not going to feel familiar. So don't bother trying to wait for it to feel normal to you. It's going to feel odd. It's going to feel different. We need to accept that change is going to feel different, especially if we've had unhealthy patterns. The good news is that eventually what we train ourselves to become, we're eventually going to believe it. And I'm using my air quotes here. We're going to believe it, which means it's going to become familiar to our consciousness, and it's going to eventually be a new default setting that we're going to react on. And today is one of those default settings we want to set. And I want to solve this problem for you. I want to help you solve it, more than likely. Not, I can't do it for you. You're going to have to do this work and self-reflection. And man, oh man, this is worth it for us. This is worth it. We're going to talk about one of the biggest problems I'm seeing in the dating world, especially with single women that are attempting to go out there and date after relationships or breakups or what have you. And I'm not talking about men today because it's a little bit different. The men's hangups when it comes to attracting a healthy mate is a little different for me than I've noticed than when women are attracting a certain or trying to attract a healthy relationship. They're kind of a little different, so I didn't want to combine them both. I'm just talking about women that are going out there into the dating arena. And the pattern I'm seeing is that women that have had toxic relationships in the past usually shy away from continuing to date. So they'll start a little bit and then they'll get burnt out real quick. And then they'll stop and they'll retreat and they'll come up with excuses like, I don't need to date right now. I'm not looking for a partner. And they're just going to accept this, even though they want to be in a partnership, they want to engage in this wonderful experience. They're just choosing to retreat and not invest at all. And this is actually done to avoid pain, just basically to avoid the pain of having to go on a date and just continue to meet people that just don't work out. And the woman will usually blame herself, like, I'm not good enough to attract the right people. There are, and I hear women saying that there are no good people anymore in the world to date. That's it. And all these justifications that we come up with, they're false because, you know, if you are healthy and you exist, then your counterpart will also exist. So if you exist, they exist too. It isn't like all these billions of people in the world and we can't find a healthy one. I assure you, there's one out there. There is one out there. But we got to heal those wounds within us, because what happens to women after they have consistent toxic relationships, they do this, there's this phenomenon I'm seeing, is that they engage in retreat and then they start justifying the lack of need, which is not true, it's a lie, the lack of need for partnerships and investment and the warmth that comes with the relationship and the connection. They're just saying, I don't need that anymore. I can be Miss Independent. And it's not healthy, because nothing is really worked on when it comes to how we attract a person and learning from it. I want to put it out there first and foremost that if we've had toxic relationships, I don't want us to look at the past and say, they're the problem, that my ex was abusive. Yes, they were abusive, but I am a consenting adult. So are they. And so I invited this person in, and I got to take a look at a truth here, not with shame, not with guilt, not with blame, but in a mature, developmentally sound, emotionally sound way. And that is by just looking at how I was a match to this toxic person. They didn't just walk in my life and they just became toxic and I just was so healthy back, but stayed in this relationship, continued to accept and tolerate mediocre responses from these partners, and then just kind of just said, oh yeah, no, they're unhealthy. I was healthy. No. We attract people, meaning that yes, they might knock at our, relationship door, but we open the door and we let them right in, and then we are a match to them. So there is almost like a formula, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit about that today, is a formula of how we choose these partners. So this way, when you're looking at your past, you're not thinking, you're just kind of bumping into souls and there's just no method to this madness and it's just so bad and I don't know what I'm doing. It just creates a sense of distrust in that woman towards herself and how she chooses partners, because we don't want to reflect on how we attracted them, those past toxic ones. Once you understand how you attracted those toxic partners with your attachment style or with the way you attach, then you're going to really understand, like, oh, it's not like random. I'm really attracted to a certain type of individual, a certain type of quality of feeling, more importantly. And I seek that subconsciously in my partnerships. But there's also other things that make us more susceptible to toxic relationships than other people, perhaps. And that's what we're going to learn today. What are those things? So you stop punishing yourself when you're going out on a date. Like, I want you to be able to see things accurately, and that and more than likely, what's in front of you may not be a match, but I need you to know why they're not a match. I need you to be consciously aware when somebody is what you perceive is attractive to you, and why they're attractive. And if you know why they are attractive to you and understand that better, then you'll be able to choose partners wisely. Because if I attract a person from a place of toxicity, from a place of trauma, then I will attract that same quality of person. Right? Emotional quality of person. They may look different, act different, but they're about the same emotional quality. And I'll talk about what that means. So this way you understand it better. So it's not a random act. It's not that we just bump into souls and it means nothing. We have a way of selecting these individuals. And when you know how you select them, then the next time you're on a date, you know what you're doing. You know why you feel a certain way about this person. And then you're going to look at this accurately. And what is familiar to you may not be healthy. It may be toxic. And admitting that is a really harsh truth, is that the way I've been selecting people may have been based on unhealthy responses. And now I got to do the work to acknowledge those things within me and work on them. I'm going to work on getting them healthy and working on attracting someone from a healthy place within me as a woman. So let's get started on talking about this idea here. The first thing I got to mention is that all of us play a role with our partners. And most of the role that we play is going to be a familiar role on how we attach. This is something we can't really escape. This role that we play with a partner is an emotional role that I want you to look at, not a physical one, right? But an emotional one. We take on this role that is familiar to us, really gets developed from an early age and from the first people we learn to attach to and depend on and rely on. And this comes from our upbringing. If we had people that let us down, people that made us tolerate abuse, and we had to just comply and survive by tolerating abuse, by emotionally internalizing our feelings, but prioritizing, for example, the feelings of others, then we, as women, could start accepting that role. If, let's say, a person that we love, we start accepting that same role from this person that we become attracted to. But it's not really that we're attracted to. A lot of times, if it's a toxic person, it's coming from that place of trauma within us, some kind of probably childhood trauma. I'm finding that that's also important. A really long-term relationship or a marriage with someone that trained us to tolerate even more abuse. So it could have been developed during childhood, but later, you know, it becomes more and more. So this role that we've learned to play, whether it's this role of complying with abusive responses, or however we've learned to love another person or associate love with really negative patterns, you know, whatever that's occurred there, we are in charge today of correcting that. So as a child, we wouldn't have known these different things that we're going to talk about today. We wouldn't have known this. So we would have just kind of grown up loving adults in our life with under certain conditions, and those same conditions we are going to look for in attaching with a future partner. Believe me when I tell you, it's just going to feel more familiar. And sometimes we misconstrue that with attraction. Actually, a lot of times, if we've come from trauma, we're going to attach under similar conditions. There are the exceptions, of course, because humans are, you know, varied and diverse. But for the majority of the population, we are going to attract a person from this very unhealthy place because we are used to our role. So, for example, if I go out on a date and the person is just, he gives me everything, and they are very attentive and they're very transparent, they don't play any games, and they don't need anything from me except my presence, they don't use me, that may be unusual to me because this would be too easy. It doesn't create this texture that makes me play this role that I want to play. And I don't know this, I want to play this intentionally, but I do play it subconsciously. It's pretty important. Where, let's say, I meet another person who's hard to read, not transparent, makes me keep guessing, makes me work hard, makes me want to earn their love, you know, then that guy is going to seem like they're going to feel familiar to me because I'm used to working hard or trying to earn love or trying to please someone and trying to just work hard in a relationship. Reading their wants and needs, putting mine aside and prioritizing theirs and pleasing them. And I will accept rejection or abuse from them because that makes me work harder. Even it doesn't make me pull back and become healthy. No, it makes me work harder, makes me lean in more into the relationship. So those behaviors are really indicative of me having not looked consciously on how I attach, what role I play consistently in a relationship that makes me pick people or partners that are not healthy, They're not healthy. They're going to make me work, going to make me guess. But because believe me when I tell you this, I want to do all this. This makes me feel right at home. I go back into that role. I know how to survive that real well. And then I'll just slip into dating this way. And of course, I will, again, in the middle of working so hard, like, why am I being done wrong? And I just self-victimize. And then I'm just thinking, like, I'm helpless to this. I'm not good at picking partners. And I just quit, right? And just blame the partner. And I'll still focus and obsess about how my past partner was just a piece of trash, which they could be. But today, it's not them. If you really look at it, it's not all them, right? I invited this person into my life. How was I a match? What made me so comfortable with their bad behavior? Because I was a match to continue this cycle and attraction with them. I continued this cycle. There would be no cycle if I was, let's say, healthy and I did not, want to read their mind or work harder. Like if I was healthy and a guy trying to make me work hard and he was transparent, didn't show up, didn't call, wasn't consistent, and I'm not used to that shit, like more than likely I will throw it out. I'll throw that guy out too in the garbage can. However, if I've come from abuse and issues with really terrible or really terrible attachment issues, and I played this self-preserving role growing up of attaching to people that were just difficult to attach to, and I had to love them and I had to tolerate the abuse because they were my family members. And, you know, then more than likely that person, that potential partner that comes into my life who makes me work hard, I will not notice it. I will slip right into my role. Like, I'll work hard. I'll try to fight with them. Like, that's my biggest thing is, like, when I see a woman that will try to convince this partner to get healthy. It's like, I'm like, that's Delulu land. We don't want to ever show up there. If, ladies, if you are trying to talk your partner into getting healthy, you yourself are in denial and you're not healthy. I want it to stop now. I don't want you ladies to ever work hard. Love is not hard. Love never has to be hard. Never. Unless I've had trauma and I'm attracting a guy who is, or a woman who is hard, like just hard to be with, then it's fulfilling a need in me. And that's what I got to admit, that it's fulfilling a need in me to attract a person who's difficult to love. And then I have to earn their love. And I have, so it's like I'm trying to solve an old problem, childhood problem in attachment, and finally get my value or my worth in, and I'm going to do it in this current relationship. And I don't know, I'm doing this consciously. This is all subconscious, ladies, but this stops now. This stops now. And I want you to trust yourself that you can date and you could see your potential partners accurately. It can be done. It's just, we're going to have to pay attention to a few things with us that I'm going to give you tips about today. So this way, when you're dating, you are able to be properly detached from, or detached, I guess, in a healthy way from what you're looking at and trying to select a partner. And it's not coming from those very old, dusty places within us that want to sabotage us. We want to make sure that we're looking at things more consciously and accurately when we're dating somebody and we're looking at a potential partner. So this way, you're never blaming anybody, not yourself and not other people. And I want you to increase a self-trust when you're out dating. That's what I really want women to have. So this way they're not like, I doing funny business. Like, I don't want to date anymore. I could just live, you know, without partners. They're not worth it. All men or all women are bad and blah, blah, blah. We don't want none of this nonsense. None of this is healthy. Okay. It's like, again, not taking responsibility for our part. And I'm all about taking responsibility for our part because that's all we can control. Anything else, I assure you, we can't control. We can't control people, but we control how we select them. And that's what we're going to get really good at today. So understanding the role that you played with your family and how you've learned to love people, especially if you've loved them under difficult conditions and you've excused their behavior, if you've learned to excuse their behavior because you love them, this is the justification that may have been used by you as the child towards your family that may have not been healthy. You would blame yourself for people's reaction, which makes you attempt to control other people's reaction later on in relationships. That we overtake responsibility for people's happiness. You know, I gotta make them happy. And if I don't make them happy, And if even they tell me that I don't make them happy, I take responsibility, full responsibility. So it makes me a great target for people that are off balance, that are selfish perhaps in the way they love. And I might take responsibility for everything and I'm fixing it and I'm trying to communicate with them and over communicating about how they need to change. And I'm going to the person that like is hurting me and I'm asking them, why are you hurting me? Like I don't need to ask why. That's just unkind to you. Unkind to you. The truth is, if the person is toxic, it stays as it is. I don't need to know why today. Like they don't need to explain to me why they're toxic. They're toxic. That's it. They got to do some work. That's all. That's all that I need to know, because I don't want to take responsibility for explaining their intention. This partner will show you what their intentions are based on their actions, not what they say, ladies, on their actions. And if their actions are inconsistent, unreliable, selfish, greedy, whatever it is that you have an expectation in a partner is, I need you to continue to have that expectation. But what's important is that acknowledging that I need to be a match for that expectation that I have. So if a person comes in and let's say I'm attracted to them, they're attractive, but let's say I want a person that actually contributes financially, but this partner just lets me pay for every meal and doesn't take responsibility, and I make excuses for them because I like them, you know, then I'm not really a match to the expectation that I have towards a partner, right? So I drop my expectation and I'm doing funny business. I'm justifying bad behaviors, putting my expectations aside. I'm not a match to them anymore. So I can want a healthy relationship till the break of dawn. But if I am not standing by those and enforcing those expectations within my, not telling them, but within me, like if I find somebody that is just like, not consistent. They might ghost for 3 days, can't send a 3-second text, or it's just wanting to Netflix and chill. Like the funny things I hear out there, it's just, if that's not what you want, if you want a formal dating experience and you want to be courted and you want to be respected, this is absolutely wonderful to want. I don't want you to think you're being picky. Please be picky. But also please match your expectations. Make sure that you are a match to whatever that is not meeting those expectations, and let them know, like, hey, you don't have to actually let them know. Like, for example, if a person is just ghosted for 3 days and they send me a text, say, hey, I don't need to know why. Where were you for 3 days? Where were you for a day? I don't need to know none of this. I don't need to know. That is not going to get responded to. I don't even need to tell them, like, hey, you need to correct yourself. I need to be respected. Oh, no. If I have to communicate the obvious, I'm in Delulu land. I'm in delusional land, and I need to step out into reality. That's how, this is the harsh, tough love conversation we're having here, because I had to have it with myself. So I'm not exempt from the bunch, as I always say. I am the bunch. So when we are picking partners, let's do it from a place of expectations. And expectations we all have. We all kind of have an intuitive idea of what feels healthy to us. We just don't follow through. Now, it's important to know the ingredient of why we don't follow through. Even we have great expectations. We meet a person and all of a sudden I'm back into developing the same kind of relationship that I've had before, even though I had expectations. I said, I'm not going to do it this time. I'm going to find a healthy person. But why did I do it again? Are you ready for the answer? Because it's so simple. It's like you can't forget it. The answer to that is because we still have not worked on the fear of abandonment. The fear of abandonment. Now, most people don't want to accept this part about themselves. Like they tell me in front of me, they say, oh no, Tala, I don't think it's quite fear of abandonment. If you have to say that to me, it probably is. It probably is, because it's coming from a place of fear. Fear of abandonment is the number one human fear we all got that makes us do funny things. Fear of abandonment will show up on a date for you. And because you're just thinking you're never going to find love again. Maybe you're not lovable. You don't want to be alone. Oh, I see that one often. I just don't want to be alone. Then that fear of being alone, fear of abandonment, fear of rejection will just show the heck up for you, and it'll talk for you. So you won't see those details that I want you to see. You'll let go of your expectations. You could have them. You could want to be healthy. But if you don't address your fear of rejection, fear of being alone, fear of abandonment, what you're basically going to do is just react on those fears on a date. If the person in front of you meets some criteria, but doesn't meet all or the most important expectations you've got, like you're going to dismiss your expectations because of those fears. So right about now, I want you to admit that you have those fears. If you've had toxic relationships in the past and you tolerated mediocre partners, like trash partners, let's just say it out, like not consistently healthy partners, one can relate. If you have definitely tolerated those, then you definitely have a fear of abandonment, fear of being alone, fear of not being lovable, fear of rejection, fear of not being enough. Like all these things will show up for you, ladies, and it will talk for you on a date. It will make decisions for you in a relationship. You will tolerate a lot, even though you consciously, logically know this is really toxic. Why am I doing this? Well, it's because those fears need to be addressed. In your brain, fear, when it's experienced, your brain cannot tell if it's a real fear or a fake one. So basically, if a tiger is coming at you, it can't tell if the fear of a tiger coming at you is a real tiger coming at you or it's a fake one. But it'll experience fear with all its hormones and stress response. It will experience all of that anyways, whether it's fake or real. So you consciously need to know, you logically need to integrate the truth and the facts in front of you. And knowing your blind sides, meaning that I know that I come from trauma, so my attachment will be funny if I don't kind of look at it properly. I will excuse bad behavior because I've learned to attach under extreme circumstances. So I will be that person that dates toxic partners. So I gotta be aware that any of these things can happen. I gotta admit them. I gotta admit my fears. Like I gotta admit them to myself. It's not a terrible thing to have a fear of abandonment, fear of rejection, fear of not being enough. It's admit that you've got those things because they show up for you when you're picking a partner and you're letting go of your expectations. That's what's playing a part here. It isn't anything else. It isn't even the partner. It's us. We are the ones looking at this partner and excusing these bad behaviors, even if we consciously know, deep down inside, we know that they're just not healthy. They're inconsistent, unreliable. Just not going to be good for us, right? They put us in the same old role that we are used to playing. So know your fears, write them down. They'll show up. I promise you they'll show up. And then when you're on a date, make sure that when you're about to tolerate something that doesn't meet your expectation, label the fear to yourself, not to the other person, label the fear to yourself. And I dare you to not say anything to that person about what they did and what they didn't do. You just kind of use this data, you collect this data, and you use it for your highest good of picking a partner. You don't try to raise the partner, make them change, mold them into whatever you like, think of them as the possible potential of being great, but they're really not great right now, but I can work on it. These are all your trauma responses working in full effect. So we don't need to contribute to that anymore. Today, if this person today is not meeting your expectations, they're allowed to be there. Today, in my world, they're allowed to be there. They're allowed to be there. I can even have some attraction towards them, but realize like, oh, I ain't going to fix that. I have to admit, I'm not fixing that specific characteristic and they're not going to meet this expectation. So that's just going to be hard work for me, which would for me be normal. Like I'm willing to do the hard work, but today I know where that's going to end and how that's going to play out. And that's going to not make me feel fulfilled in a relationship. I'll feel lonely in a relationship. It'll just be terrible. So I play it forward just like that. So this person in front of me does not seem attractive anymore. It's like, this is just hard work. And I'm just going to go back to that cycle. And I don't want to be a match to that anymore. Yeah. So I hope that you guys really listen to this over and over again. As I was talking about it, I really rarely stopped to redo anything in this episode. So that means to me that it just came from that knowing place, like that divine place directly to you. When I don't think about it too much and it comes out, that's how I know that's a blessed conversation for you and your highest good, as well for me and my highest good. This is something that will help you if you're a woman starting to go into the dating world, to become kinder, gentler to yourself and to others. Cause I'm not gonna engage in my previous automatic role with a partner who is not consistent, not reliable. I'm not gonna communicate anymore. Really, it's if I have to communicate the obvious, then I'm gonna be doing that for the term of the relationship. I hate to say it. Okay. So, but if the person is already delivering those things, then we look at it like, hey, okay, I accept that they're doing it for now. And people tell me, well, Tala, they started off really great and they were just so wonderful. And now they're not that great. Well, then you have to consider possibly love bombing. That at first it was like love bombing and that I was a match to love bombing. I was a match to that level of attention and codependence and neediness. Like I'm a match to that. I need that level of confirmation, which made me a great match to a love bomber. So even when you say that, because I hear that as a usual defense back from women saying, well, at the beginning, they were just had a lot of attention. Da, da, da. And I'm like, you will always see inconsistency. So just because they give me their attentiveness, it does not always mean that their action and their follow through was there. But we're going to want this validation if we are coming from a place of low self-esteem. So somebody giving us major attention is going to be attractive to us as give us quick validation for our self-esteem. And that's what we look at today, ladies. We look at action. We don't look at the possible potential that we can have with a person. We now look at what they actually do or don't do. And we just take this information, even if we have fears of abandonment, fears of not being enough, fear of rejection, we look at it and we still do the right thing in that situation. We do the courageous thing, which is like, I will let go of this person gently and kindly because they do not perform to my expectation. And today, if I let go of these expectations, I will go back to the same cycle, basically. I don't need to let them know. I don't need to be unkind to them. They don't have to be anything today. They're free to show me whatever they are and I'm free to see it. And I'm also aware of the fears that can creep up and tell me, well, it's not that bad. Oh, it's going to be okay. They're okay. You know, you're being too picky. this stuff will creep up on me, but I need today to see what's in front of me accurately. All this is just so important. And I see women retreating altogether, not wanting to work on this wonderful life lesson to get healthy because this information of past toxic relationships and my engagement in them provides me really important insight about how to get healthy. And if I choose not to look at how I was a match to those individuals, then I'm never going to fix it. And I'm going to keep cyclically getting attracted to someone in the old ways I'm used to getting attracted to them. So we got to do this work. We got to do this hard work today of seeing things accurately as it is, being aware of our fears, our blind spots, being aware of our traumatic role that we had to experience and self-preserve in, right? And learn adaptive skills and how to attach with our loved ones. Maybe it was not healthy, may have been toxic. And I understand that I play this role in attachments. Like all these things have to be worked on consciously, reflected on truthfully with honesty, right? And then using this information and dating. Now that you're going to end up loving this kind of dating experience because you're not going to blame the people in front of you. You're going to work on your fears and you're going to experience one date after another. And you're going to sift through a lot of people because not everybody's done this work. I need you guys to know that you're going to sift through a lot of people. I just don't need you to get burnt out doing that. If you are burnt out, it's because you're doing this thing where you're blaming yourself. Like you're not here I go when this possible partnership doesn't work out, then I'm no good. And I go back to these old, nasty self-esteem, negative self-esteem talk that is just not kind to me. And that's why it's like, I don't want to keep doing this date after date. So I'll stop. I'll quit. Well, we're going to solve this. You are not there to change the other person. They're separate from you. And this detachment needs to be well known to your conscious awareness. And you bring it to the date that this person is allowed to behave in any way and you're not responsible for their behavior. You're almost grateful that they're showing you those behaviors and you're like, thank you. I'm able to see it, even if it hurts to look at it, but doesn't mean that I'm going to be alone for life. But I have to sift through a lot of frogs in order for me to find that prince or, you know, whatever princess. You're gonna have to sift through a lot of frogs. It's just going to happen. I just want us to do it gently and kindly to ourselves. And then that becomes fun. Dating experience becomes fun, which needs to be, because it helps you develop the skills to be able to detach appropriately from your value and your fears and how this is going to be like a reminder that I'm not good enough, right? And every day, like, this is going to help us practice that detachment. If you don't practice this detachment, it's going to sneak up on you, because it's going to be like, I'm going to attract in the old ways I know without checking my blind spot or my fears. And I'm going to just attract the same old person that makes me play the same old role. And here I go again. So hopefully this helped you guys a lot. It helps me a lot. And we're going to do this together. We're going to really date kindly today to ourselves and towards others. We're not going to try to change them. And yeah, that's all I got on this one. Thank you guys so much for joining me tonight. I'm sending you love and light. Stephen Kobosky said, we accept the love we think we deserve. This has been an episode of Drive Through.